It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma will be coming your way. Talk a little Yankee baseball in just a second. First, want to remind you that you can get involved with the podcast by giving us a phone call at 646-487-3668. Think of it as calling Joe and I and leaving us a personal voicemail, but it's all about sports. How cool is that? Or you can email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. All right, let's jump in with both feet here as, you know, Rodney Dangerfield used that line about a million times in the movie Back to School. Every teacher, like Professor Turgeson, who was Sam Kinison, let's dive in with both feet.
Say it! Say it!
Anyway, let's talk Yankees. Listen, they're injured, they're banged up. But in no way can the New York Yankees make any excuses. And I'll tell you why. This is why. Even if you're Yankee fans, you cannot use the excuse that your team is injured. Why, Chris? Why can't I? Why can't I go up to a Met fan who took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees and say, you beat us because we were injured? Here's why. The Yankees have something the Mets don't have. Reliable starting pitching. At least 4/5. But how ironic that the 4/5 that were going well to start the season over the past couple starts have not been so well. And guess who has? He got a 4-pitch win against the Red Sox, and then he got the only win against the Mets, Javier Vasquez. But as the Yankees' rotation showed you early on, as they showed you last year in last season's playoff run to their 27th title with CC, AJ, and Andy, starting pitching will beat good offenses any day. Here's another reason why the Yankees cannot complain. Show me another lineup in the major leagues from 1 through 5, the way the Yankees are set up, that have that kind of power. Might be a couple that rival them, but 1 through 5, they're pretty damn good. Jeter, you had Gardner there. He's gone back to the bottom of the order. Now you have Swisher. So Jeter, Swisher, Tex, A-Rod, Cano. That's not too shabby. And when you have your starting pitching going the way it's supposed to go, runs don't really have to be, you know, a bazooka to kill an ant. Not when pitching is going well. You scratch together 2-3 runs, you're going to win games. CC Sabathia has been dreadful since beating the Orioles earlier this month. He's 0-2 with an ERA near 6. He said he came to the conclusion there's something wrong with his delivery. Dave Island was down in Florida at his daughter's graduation, came back, looked at some tape, and he saw that CC wasn't finishing his pitches. And CC then admitted, when I don't finish my pitches, I don't have any confidence in my pitches, and that's when I start leaving pitches over the plate. And you saw what Jason Bay did to him. The Yankees could be responsible for a little rebirth in Queens. Look, I'm not saying the Mets are going to take this and run with it, but taking 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, sure looks like they gave a little pep in their step. As we sit here now, they've just beat the Phillies first two games of the series, and they've shut him out. 8-0, 5-0. Don't tell me that those Subway Series don't mean anything. They do. They could take a team season and just turn it on a dime. For that moment, it could be 2 weeks, could be 3 weeks. But you get a little jolt like that, and the Mets take off and run with it. But that's for another segment. This is what I want to talk about here with the Yankees. Now, having said what I just said, they might be injured. Johnson might be, who knows, done for the year. Because he might come back from this wrist thing and get hurt again. Who knows? Granderson's on his way back. Aceves might be done for the year now. With the bulging disc. He might need surgery. He had to shut down a bullpen session in Tampa. That's not good news. But guess who's back? Chad Gaudin. Is he Alfredo Aceves? Probably not. But he gives Girardi some choices in the bullpen. Chad, you're a great guy. Welcome back. But here's what Joe and I are going to discuss right now as we welcome in Joe Auriemma to the Off the Wall podcast.
It's always good to be here.
It's always good to have you.
Thank you, Chris.
Because if it wasn't for you, this podcast basically wouldn't be happening. Joe leaves the office after we tape. He goes and he edits it. He puts those little movie lines in there that make you all giggle so much.
Yes.
Make me giggle. he edits everything together. He does a great job.
Thank you,
and
Chris.
If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't be happening. And I need this every week because I need to vent. And this is what I'm going to vent about now. Mark Teixeira. People aren't saying enough about how bad he's been.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny because you're not hearing it in the, you know, in the overall media as much. I mean, you're hearing it, but, you know, Twitterverse is definitely a buzz. About how bad he's been. You know, I was talking to you before this, and, you know, I said he's about 180 bats at-bats in
the season.
He almost
hit the nail right on the head.
And, yeah, it's 181. And, you know, that's a third of the season. When you kind of average it out after walks and everything, that puts him at 540 for the season, 550, 560. Mm-hmm. In that range, he's about a third of the at-bats into the season. And he is just...
Well, let me throw these numbers at you because these are, to me, they're eye-popping. And I know you being a big stat guy and knowing a lot of stuff about statistics, you will go nuts for this too. 2009-2010, this is the comparison. 46 games through 46, he has the exact number of at-bats, 181 each year. The Yankees' record, exactly the same.
28 and 18. Right.
Except last year the Yankees were on the way up. This year they're not on the way down. They're just...
Right.
They're leveling out.
They leveled out, exactly.
Hits last year, 50.
Okay.
Hits this year, 38.
Okay. 12 hits is a
huge
difference.
Now this is the eye-popping one.
Mm-hmm.
Extra base hits last year, 26.
Okay.
15 of those were home runs.
Wow. Okay, so.
Extra base hits this year, 15 total. He had 40 ribbies last year through 181 at-bats. He has 30 this season. He's got 10 less RBI.
Okay.
Now, if you remember, in the month of May, when he started to pick up last year,
right.
He was hitting home run after home run. It was like
right. I mean, that's usually what happens with a home run hitter. I mean, they get on a streak. Once you hit one, then they go on a streak. But I feel like with him, he hits a home run, and that's it. I mean, he doesn't hit another home run for a while. And even kind of with A-Rod this year, where, you know, once A-Rod hits one, you're like, okay, A-Rod's going to go on an A-Rod tear right now. And he hasn't been doing that either. But Teixeira, this is a big problem right now.
15 total extra base hits, 7 home runs. So he has 8 less home runs
at this point in the season,
and 11 less extra base hits.
That's a real problem in the number 3 spot in the order.
He's batting, Joe, .210. Last year at this time, he was correcting himself, and he was upwards near .280.
That's a big, the 12 hits is a huge difference.
Now, you can keep saying...
And the thing, Chris, too, is he looks lost at the plate. It's like, at least last year when he had his rough start, he was hitting balls hard. He was he looked like he was ready to get into a groove. Now he looks confused.
Now I think it's getting to the point where he is in a state of mind where he doesn't know. I don't think he's ever experienced this before. He always picks up. So now he's not picking up, and I think he's starting to press. Maybe he's starting to do too much. Maybe he's starting to swing from his hips and swing for the fences. He's hitting a lot of ground balls.
And he's guessing wrong in a lot of pitches too.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. He's up there and, you know, I see him and he's guessing fastball and they're throwing a changeup or a breaking ball on the outside of the plate and he's totally missing it. Totally missing it.
Last year to this year, the walks and the strikeouts are pretty much negligible. The walks and strikeouts last year, 27 walks, 36 Ks. This year, 28 walks, 37 Ks. So he's got one more apiece this year.
Right.
So that's really nothing. But those extra base hits really stand out.
Of course.
And when you have, there was, through the Rays and the Mets, there was a five-game stretch. That two-game series against the Rays heading into the three-game series, the weekend series at Citi Field. Gardner and Tex were 2-3 in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Gardner was 0-13 against the Mets. In those five games, your 2-3 hitters, and listen up, this is why the Yankees were losing, the 2-3 hitters were 7-51.
Yeah, it's...
That was 150 and change.
You can't have.
You're not going to win too many games when the
top
of
the order.
Yeah,
and it's funny because the bottom of the order.
Kevin Russo. Who would think with that top heavy part of the lineup that Kevin Russo is a key cog to the Yankee offense? But he is.
Yeah, Francisco. He's been good.
And what does that speak to Randy Wynn? Yeah. Especially against Francisco Liriano, who's a lefty. You think Wynn is a switch hitter? He went with Russo.
So if Wynn is not in the lineup, then what the heck is Wynn doing here then? I mean, that's really what
I don't
it comes
think he's going
to
be too much longer for this team. I really don't.
Yeah, just kind of like what happened with Boone Logan.
They
can't option Wynn, but...
And that's a shame with Logan because he has electric stuff. He has no location.
None. Hey, you know, Chris, looking at this division right now.
And the Red Sox, who we pretty much...
Dunned
last week. And we'll admit it. Hey, that's why we're here. We put ourselves out there. They have turned on a dime,
and they're doing it against the Rays, who have now lost three in a row.
They're not just beating them either.
No,
they're beating them to a pulp.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rays have to be so happy the Red Sox are out of St. Pete right now.
Yeah, I mean the Rays are now only 3.5 up on the Yankees, and 5.5 up on the Red Sox, and only 6 ahead of the Blue Jays. So a nice stackage in the top 4 teams in the AL East. And then you have the Baltimore Orioles.
So much for that renaissance in Baltimore.
17 back.
Matt Wieters. How's the bottom of the division looking, Matt?
My God.
Anyway, but if you want to get in on this discussion, I'm sure we'll be talking again about it next week. Give us a call.
Well, hopefully by next week, Mark Teixeira starts to turn it around a little
bit. Well, we'll see, because if he doesn't, we'll be talking about this more, and we want to get your thoughts on it as well. So please give us a call at 646-487-3668 or email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. Andrick is always emailing us. It'd be nice to hear your voice every once in a while, Andrick.
But we appreciate the emails.
No, we do. We appreciate the email, but let your fingers do the walking. 646-487-3668. Okay, when we come back, I don't know, a little potpourri here. Yeah, I just have to tune back in to find out what we're going to talk about when Joe and I return to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hello, this is Brad Cunningham from North Carolina, once again calling on a wonderful Thursday morning because we won against the Twins. Frankly, why can't we just play the Twins every time that we're having a bad day, week, month? Because we always seem to be close good games to get us back rolling again, which is very nice. But my question, little comment this for the Yankees right now. a little bit of a shift that we can do to move into our team. I am a big fan of Francisco Cervelli, frankly. I think most of the players are, too. Great catcher. Pitchers love throwing to him. And the guy hits runners in scoring position. Can't hit without him, but with him, he's batting, I believe, over 300 runners on base and certainly in scoring position. And a lineup I think the Yankees could really benefit from is when Jorge gets back on his feet. God, I wish that would be soon. But to have him DH more and have Cervelli behind the plate, because he can throw runners out, and frankly, Jorge might throw runners out. But I think he's better behind the plate right now than Jorge.
A big thank you to our buddy Brad Cunningham out of North Carolina. Brad, always a supporter of the show, listens in, and a good comment right there.
Absolutely.
I've been an advocate of Jorge coming back and being more of a primary DH, especially mm-hmm. with Nick Johnson out. You don't want to lose that stick in the lineup. Here's 2 points to that, though. Will Jorge, nothing against Jorge Posada, but he is a prideful man. He's been a catcher his whole career. And will he accept a role to be mostly a DH? I've come up with a solution where maybe if Girardi can talk to him, if there's, you know, 6-7 games over a week stretch, you know, Francisco catches 3 over the 6-game stretch, Jorge catches the other 3, or if it's a 7-game stretch, you know, Francisco catches 4 and Jorge catches 3, where you kind of keep him appeased, where he's still catching games, but you tell him in a way, you know, Jorge, we need your stick at the end of the year. We need you to be, you know, you're not a spring chicken anymore. We need you if we make a postseason run.
38 years of age.
Right. We need you if there's a postseason run, we need your legs to be fresh, and this is how I think they can approach it with them.
The main thing with the Yankees is what, Joe? What do they want to do every single season?
They want to win the World Series.
Okay, and I know Jorge's prideful, and who wouldn't be who's played the game for so long and at such a level that he has for so long? It's easy for us as fans to sit here and say, oh, he should just accept it. That's easy for you to say. You haven't been busting your rump behind the plate for the past 14, 15 years. You haven't. So it's hard for somebody, especially a guy like Posada, who has so much pride.
He's a world champion.
Right, to come to grips with, yeah, you know what, maybe my catching days are over. That's tough for somebody. That's tough for somebody to do that.
Especially that he's still playing at a high level.
But in the end, I think, and your way of doing this, that is a great idea. And I hope Mr. Girardi listens to the podcast, because I think you hit the nail right on the head. There's no reason to rush Romine or Montero up here, especially with the year Montero's having. Yeah. No reason to get them up here early. Keep Cervelli. Keep Posada. If there's a whole week of games, you have Cervi catch 4, Posada catch 3, or Cervi catch 5, Posada catch 2. You keep Posada fresh, and he's still able to catch. They still give him the ability to catch a ball game. And it's not like Jorge is a bad catcher.
Yeah.
Defensively, does he lack a little bit more than Cervelli right now? Absolutely. I have to say it. He does. But the guy can still catch.
And not only that, but here's the other thing. On the days where Cervelli is going to be not catching, or he's going to be out defensively, you know, what other options? There's not many other options. I'm sure you can DH Marcus Thames.
And it's perfect.
But you know what? You can also DH Cervelli. That's the thing.
You absolutely can. You absolutely can. But what I would do in that situation is when Posada would catch when he gets back on his feet, give Cervelli a day off. Even though the kid is young, he still needs some days off. You got to keep him fresh as well.
I mean, you saw what happened with the doubleheader. He caught both.
And you know his mentality.
Yeah.
He is defense first. I mean, the offensive stuff he is giving the team right now is gravy. But we've talked to him countless amounts of times, and the only thing he's concerned with is catching the game. Since Brad brought up one of the kids, and we talked about Kevin Russo in our first segment, but Brett Gardner, who got out to a tremendous start this season, but lately he's been struggling a little bit. I mean, it's not like he's under 300.
He was pressing, if I feel like.
But in that two hole,
yeah.
Gardner was pressing to the point where the rest of the offense wasn't clicking. So I think he put a little bit too much pressure on himself in that two hole to try to get something going. If you saw him, if you watched his at bats, and I do because I'm a big fan of this kid. I am. I have been since 2005 when he was with the Staten Island Yankees. If you watch like I have, when he's in that 8, 7, 9 hole, he's taking pitches. He's very selective. He's patient. He's got more walks than he had last year. When he was in that two hole with all the injuries and with the guys around him, he's trying to set the table. He's swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. He's not concentrating. Last Wednesday night, triple out of the 9 hole.
Yeah. I just think he, you know, there's, like you said, there's less pressure. He's not pressing as much. You know, he provides the speed at the bottom of the order. It kind of is like a double leadoff hitter once you get through the first time in the order. I think that's Nick Swisher is better in the two spot than he is at this point. And, you know, I like Gardner down there. I like him down there, especially the fact, Chris, that at the end of the year, he's going to have 20 to 30 base hits just on speed alone. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He already has more than a handful of those.
Yeah.
Check this out, okay? For those of you down on Brett Gardner, which you shouldn't be, if Joe or I were to tell you at the beginning of the season, Gardner's your starting left fielder, and these are the numbers he's going to have coming into June. 294, okay? 14 ribbies, 2 homers, 2 doubles, I'm sorry, 2 triples, 4 doubles, 47 hits, in 160 at-bats, 33 runs scored, and 17 stolen bases. Would you sign for that?
Yeah, absolutely. And just a note here, I don't mean to be, you know, really getting on Mark Teixeira here. That's 9 more hits than your number 3 hitter in the lineup with the 47 hits. Just throwing that out there. And he hasn't played as much either as Teixeira.
No, he has 160 at bats, whereas Teixeira has 21 more at bats.
That's what I'm saying. So you got to be happy with Brett Gardner's production.
Absolutely,
right now.
And you know, just give him some time. He, you know, people is he not an everyday player? I don't know why these questions even come up. I don't. He had.
Well, I'll tell you this: when Granderson comes back, the best outfield that the Yankees have is Gardner every day in left, Granderson every day in center, and Swisher every day in right.
Day and right.
That's your best outfield.
Absolutely right. And Marcus Thames could DH.
Yeah.
The Yankees, listen, I know last week I painted a bleak picture. I said the Yankees were in trouble. And they were. I sensed it. But that doesn't mean, if you read my blog, you would understand, that doesn't mean that it's going to be like that the rest of the season. I use the Superman 2 theory. Even Superman flirted with being human. He wanted to marry Lois Lane and be a normal human being. Okay? He went to the Fortress of Solitude. He put the crystal in. Little light show, and his superpowers were gone.
I want to use the Superman 3 theory.
Oh, God, don't bring Richard Pryor into this.
And I want to...
Hey, Soup! Oh. I'm just going to walk.
Oh, that's a terrible
thing. Yes, it was. But we watched it. You know why? Because we were brought up on cheese, and that was... God, was that just...
Robert Vaughn was a terrible villain.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Robert Vaughn. Why? But why?
Why? Why did we switch to Superman? That's what I wanted.
Oh, God. He was great in basketball, though.
Robert Vaughn?
Yeah, he was.
He's also great on the commercials, the lawyer commercials.
Yeah.
We mean business.
Something tells me we're going to hear that in the podcast.
Tell them you mean business.
Just one quick point before we do go, I want to make. I don't know if you saw.
He's a bad guy in the A-Team, too. Series.
He was. Yeah. He was. He was also in the movie Bullet with Steve McQueen, yeah. Which is a classic cheesy film. Great film, but there are so many errors in that film. He goes into a hospital during the day and he leaves. He's chasing some guy through the hospital and goes out the back door and it's dark as night. Quick chase.
Maybe it was Alaska.
Yeah, 5 hours. But everybody loves a Joe West story.
Oh, go ahead.
You know,
yeah.
you Joe West in yesterday's game, Mark Burley throws over to first. He calls a balk. I mean, he had the guy dead red. Calls a balk. Ozzie Guillen has some words. He then throws Ozzie Guillen out of the game and uses an expletive to tell Ozzie Guillen to leave.
Yeah.
That infuriates Ozzie even more. This makes Burley laugh, and it makes, you know, even though it's a bad situation, Burley's laughing, you know, the bench coach is laughing, Ozzie leaves. Burley, who has a good pickoff move, throws over to first like 2 innings later and is called for a balk again. Cowboy Joe West calls him for a balk again. Burley throws his glove in disgust. He gets run. So he ejects the two of them. After the game...
Isn't he slowing the game down a little
bit? Yes. Ozzie Guillen had a bunch of choice words to say...
I bet he did.
...about Cowboy Joe West, and he goes, bring on the fine, I don't even care. If you have a chance, listen to this post-game press conference. It's a very funny tirade.
Is it Earl Weaver-esque?
It's not as animated as Earl Weaver, but it's Ozzie being Ozzie, basically.
That's gold in my book, Jerry. All right, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Shearer, and this has been the Off the Wall Podcast. We'll be back next week with more here on YesNetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. When the word is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. Cause we're the party people, not and just enjoy yourself. Groove. Let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all. You live it off the wall. Life.